line, Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Mitch Light of The Athletic. Mitchell, great to hear from you. It's been a while. Appreciate you for coming on with us. Appreciate your time. Breaking down some of the action in Omaha, Tennessee falls to LSU 6-3 over the weekend. Do you think Tennessee can come back, beat Stanford today, get back in the winner's bracket, and keep their Omaha hopes alive? And if so, what do you think are the key factors in doing so?
Well, good talking to you guys. Yes, I do. We all know that Tennessee's strength, or one of their strengths, is pitching depth. There's not too many teams that can come with a number two as strong as Chase Dollander. Now, his numbers aren't great this year. Has been probably a disappointing year from a consistency standpoint, but we all know at his best, he's as good as it gets in the country, and that's why he's still considered a top 10 draft pick. So a little bit of a bad draw for Tennessee in the fact that they get, not just playing Stanford, they get Quinn Matthews, who didn't pitch when he typically would, in game one of the College World Series for Stanford because he threw all those pitches last weekend. So you don't expect to face the team's ace in your second game, especially in the loser's bracket there, but it is what it is. So they just need to get consistent pitching. We know they have the options out of the bullpen. A great thing about the College World Series is, unlike the first two weekends of the postseason, you can use your pitching and come back 2 days later. You know, a guy can throw 30, 40 pitches and come back. So Tennessee did not use too much of its bullpen the other day. So they're in good shape. So just got to win this game and then see what happens. You know, obviously I'd say looking forward, not to get too far ahead, but from a Tennessee standpoint, I would probably prefer if Wake Forest won the game, because I think Wake Forest has more pitching depth than LSU. So if you're going to get into a multiple games against one opponent, not to insult your Tigers there, but I think LSU is a little thinner on the mound than Wake Forest.
Well, we did get a text on the text line here, and I do not think it was from Mitch. This is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Has Caroline accepted an LSU defeat today, or is she still holding out hope? There must be a Deacon fan out there somewhere.
I will answer that question with another question. Why would I do that? Why would I accept defeat today?
Should I ask if that was my son Gabe?
I was wondering. I don't think this is Gabe's number unless he's changed area codes on me. I don't know.
No, he has not. So, yes, of course, no one should ever accept it. Once you get this far, you should have confidence in your team. And I'm sure Caroline has plenty of confidence in the Tigers.
Well, I will ask you, Mitch, should I? You know the Demon Deacons better than I do. Should I have hope? Should I have confidence?
Well, you should, because LSU has one of the most feared lineups in college football, college basketball, tons of star power, but facing, obviously, a very good Wake Forest team. I'm interested to see how Wake Forest does, how they bounce back. I know you guys follow college baseball closely. You know, there's something to be said about the big lights and the bright stage of your first game in Omaha. You know, a lot of the programs here this week, it's been talked about, the TCUs, the Virginias, Tennessee's was in it 2 years ago at least, and obviously LSU. They've been there. This Wake Forest team has been had a great regular season. I was really impressed the way they played in the regionals and the super regionals with a lot of pressure on them to get to Omaha. But, you know, I don't know if there were some nerves. Tom Walter, their coach, said they were a little tight. I would expect them to be a lot freer and play a lot looser. And, you know, they got a really good pitcher, Josh Hartle, on the mound. Great numbers, 131 strikeouts in 96 innings. So I would say this is, you know, they're the two teams that have been 1-2 in the country all year. It's a very evenly matched matchup. Both lineups have star power in depth, so I didn't even look at the odds. I would say maybe, because LSU is kind of the name program, maybe LSU is a slight favorite here. But I think it's flip the coin.
Now, Mitch, what do you make of this this Gator team? We were texting back and forth, and Willie was like, "Oh my goodness, Florida! Look at them; they're about to lose." And then all of a sudden, they rally back later innings. They end up winning the game. Come back the next day, Oral Roberts, they win by one run. If you just look at the stat board, you would think Oral Roberts won that game, but Florida ended up winning 5-4. But what do you make of Florida?
Extremely, extremely talented. Obviously, you know, they never lack for talent. And they were talking about this on the broadcast last night. You know, Florida's always going to have a baseline of talent. But they got some surprises this year. You know, the shortstop, Josh Rivera, coming back for a senior year. Brandon Sproat was a draft-eligible sophomore last year. I think he was a third-round pick, came back. So they got some added bonus. BT Rypel, the catcher, came back. So they, what was already a talented core, they got some extra guys back. Huston Waldrop has been fantastic. He's probably been the best pitcher in the postseason. I mean, obviously, Paul Skeens has been great, too, but Waldrop's numbers have been fantastic. So, you know, Langford's fantastic. And they just, I'm surprised they've kind of struggled as much as they have. I mean, they needed a miraculous ninth inning, but to win game one, and then they were one pitch away from losing last night. And gave up 7 hits, only 4 hits against an Oral Roberts team with not a ton of pitching depth. So to answer your question, Derek, I think I put them with LSU and Wake Forest for most talented rosters, but I don't love the way they're playing, even though they're 2-0.
Something I saw last night, Mitch, and if people were watching, they probably saw it and said the same thing. I don't think I've ever seen this happen in a game, especially one of that magnitude, where Florida had to take their pitcher out because they didn't realize that they had run out of mound visits. That was pretty bizarre, and they were kind of fortunate to survive there.
Yeah, and well, it's a relatively new rule in college baseball, I believe, with this pace of the play. So I don't think it's happened. The announcers were talking about it last night. None of those guys had seen it. Just a huge mistake on Kevin O'Sullivan's part there, losing count, you know, having their closer in there. Had to bring the freshman in. And I'm not going to sit here and say the freshman didn't do a good job because he got out of it. Was it Cade Fisher, I think his name is? But, like, I've had people, you know, I'm on social media, the announcers, like, just could not say enough about this guy. Well, like, he gave up a line drive that was right at someone, and then he gave up a run, walked two guys, the last out of the game was hard hit. So, like, again, I'm not out there. I'm not going to criticize. I know he's a freshman, but if you're playing for Florida and you're a bullpen option, or any of these teams, and you're a freshman, we've seen plenty of freshmen be key bullpen parts. Hey, TCU's number one pitcher is a freshman there. So I just thought it was a little overboard of the praise of the guy, but you know, you got to admit sometimes in baseball you get lucky and they hit him right at him. So, you know, he got out of it. So I guess he got the job done.
So they're in the driver's seat, which nobody's really surprised that they are, because they had a pretty good draw. And also, nobody would be surprised if Florida, LSU, or Tennessee won the whole thing. I guess for people that might just tune more attention into the College World Series than at any other time during the season, how did Wake Forest get to this point? Because really, they're the only thing realistically that's standing in the way from another SEC championship.
Yeah, and I follow college baseball relatively closely, but in Wake Forest has had some good teams. In 2017, they went down to Florida in a super regional and forced a game three. They were in a regional last year, and there was high hopes for them this year, but I don't think anyone saw them being this good. And I actually did a story for The Athletic on Wake Forest when I went to go pick up my son after his freshman year. I spent kind of the day with the baseball staff, and the name of the story is the Rise of Wake Forest Baseball, kind of like how it happened. It's kind of a combination of a lot of things. One thing that I found most notable, and no one was shy about admitting it, you know, we hear the word culture so much in sports. It's such a cliche. One of the first things Tom Walter, the head coach, said to me, he said, we 2021, we were basically, we had a culture problem. We were a broken program. And a lot of that was they had a roster comprised of a bunch of, I don't know how many, but several seniors back who did not expect to be there post-COVID. You know, you guys know how college baseball works. Most of the time, if you're a junior and you're a good player, you get drafted and you move on. Well, that was the year they cut the draft short to 5 rounds. So they had a roster, you guys just weren't in it, weren't buying in, so to speak. And Brock Wilkin, the guy with the home run the other day, he's tied with Caglione for the national lead. I was talking to him, and he's just like, late in the year, we're having a bad year, we get killed by Virginia Tech, and I go to, they call it Walt, Tom Walter, they call him Walt, the coach. He goes, Walt, I got this. He's a true freshman. And in the dugout after the game, he said he just lit the team up. He's like, seniors, what are we doing here? If you guys don't want to be here, that's fine, then move on right now. It's like, we've got talent. We didn't come here to lose like this. And basically, they didn't have a magical run at the end. They didn't make the postseason last year. They didn't make the ACC tournament. But that's kind of when they point to things started to turn around. The core group of guys stayed with the program, like Wilkin, some of the key pitchers coming back. So, and then they went on an off-season retreat. Again, sounds like a cliche, coach speak and all that, but they said that really galvanized the team. And as I say in my story, culture is great, but you got to have talent. And they've got some elite talent. You know, we've seen it, deepest pitching staff. So it's sort of, you know, they got some some recruiting luck. If you read the story, some guys, under-recruited guys, like Rhett Lauder, that have panned out. So it's an interesting story for a program that has had potential and has always seemed to underachieve. Now the thing for Wake Forest, can they take advantage of it? We all know the stat about the number one seeds not having won a national championship since 1999. And can they build on it, or is this going to be a one-hit wonder?
Real quick, Mitch, before we let you go, how would you grade how the SEC did the schedule for football in 2024 based on all of the stuff that they're trying to put together? And how are they going to do this going forward? Because one of the things that we really specifically tried to note is how are they going to find strength of schedule every year? Because that's a hard thing to track.
Yeah, well, it's hard to – I think they did a good – very good job, like, in the short term. If you go under the notion that they're only going to play 8 games, you're not going to play 9, if you kind of live with that, I think it's as balanced as they could have made it. Like, one thing I just looked at now, getting ready here, is, like, how many teams aren't playing Alabama and Georgia? There's 2, Arkansas and A&M. How many teams are playing Alabama and Georgia? 2, Auburn and Tennessee. So, that's where I would start for grading the schedules. But we're talking 2024. That's next year. That's 2 years. We don't know how teams are going to be.
Exactly.
LSU looks like they're the talent. We know they've got talent next year, but it looks like they're heading back up and going to be really good. How's Auburn going to be in 2 years? There's just so much year-to-year fluctuation between these two teams, between all these teams. It's going to be so hard for the league to get things balanced. There's going to be some years where a port like a Missouri, a Vanderbilt, or a Kentucky, or a Mississippi State, one of these teams is going to end up playing like 4 top 5 teams. That's not necessarily what the league would envision when they do it, but like, how do we know what Texas A&M is going to be, or Texas and all that? So I think in the short term, they did a very good job with the 24 schedule, but they got to figure something out, whether, adding the 9 games would make it a little bit easier to balance things out, but it's going to be very difficult going forward.
Mitch Light of The Athletic. Mitchell, appreciate you for joining us. Always appreciate your insight, and please tell your son that we are coming for his Demon Deacons today.
He ain't scared. In fact, he's going to Omaha, I think, with some friends if they make the final. So I'll go tell him to go make non-refundable airline tickets right now before
And while you're at it, why don't you tell him to get a couple Jell-O shots or a couple thousand Jell-O shots? Because
he's only 19, Caroline. He cannot have
as laws in the Jell-O shot competition, Mitch. We need some competition. LSU has a 7,000 Jell-O shot lead. I need to be on the edge of my seat a little bit more.
I don't think that's going to happen. And by the way, that is the best marketing idea in the history of the world,
That's
what Broncos is doing.
It really is. Mitch, appreciate you. Have a good one. Enjoy the games today.
All right. Take care, guys. See ya.
Awesome. Thanks, Mitch. Coming up next, let's react to what Mitch Light had to say and how important it really is for Tennessee to win today. Not just for this week, but for the perception of the program. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.